This is Scott Berguin of KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, Oregon. Privileged to be able to check back in with Michelle DeFord of Salem, Oregon, who has rejoined the Bring Them Home Now tour on the Southern Leg and re-energized and ready to go. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott.
Well, the last time I saw you and Steve, your husband, was at in Eugene, and that was last week, I guess. We were doing a 48-hour vigil at what we called Camp David in honor of your son at the Federal Building in Eugene, and we were talking before the recording here that you were looking, as you called, a little shop-worn, and fortunately got some time off, and you're back on the tour and ready to fight, aren't you?
Yes, I'm ready to fight.
Okay. Where are you right now?
Right now, I am in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Williamsburg, Virginia, okay.
I woke up this morning in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we attended a meeting or a rally there yesterday, and we actually had a march through the town of Raleigh. It was about a mile and a half, and it just awful heat. Reminded me a lot of Crawford. But there's quite a bit more humidity here.
Right.
And I think there were probably anywhere from 600 to 700 people there. It was amazing.
Right.
And we then spoke at Duke University, and the crowd was amazing there. And we have been heckled really very little. I'm real happy with the people I'm traveling with. We each represent one of the four organizations that are behind this tour, which is Iraqi Veterans Against the War, Military Families Speak Out, Gold Star Families for Peace, and Veterans for Peace. And I think after I sat, of course, I don't remember what I said because, you know, sometimes you never do. You kind of know you have a general outline in your head. But when I got done, I thought to myself as I listened to all the other speakers, I'm really proud of us because we sound so much more intelligent than the administration does. But things are, from my perspective, going really well. Mm-hmm. And we're at a rally right now. And we're at William and Mary College in Williamsburg, Virginia. And beautiful day, and everybody's pumped. And
all right. Well, I'm sure having talked to the after, I can't speak, but after having talked to Linda and Phil Waste a few times, that even though it's incredible to me that how they keep up their energy, that you were a big boost to have rejoined the tour there, added some new life to the last few days before getting to Washington, D.C.
Right, right. And I... we're just beseeching people to come, you know, whatever it takes. There are groups organizing buses to come from all directions, and I don't know if it's too late for people to hook up with a ride in Portland, but, you know, my feeling from the beginning is I hated the feeling that in me, which I still have, that David's life was just thrown away, he was just wasted. And I do so want people to come to D.C. I think it would send such a wonderful message if we had 2 million people, you know, marching around the White House.
Yes. Yeah, well, that would be incredible. I mean, it would be incredible to have the number that I heard originally kicked around, like 500,000. It's going to be a phenomenal day. And you're right, people need to be, anybody that has the slightest possibility of getting on a train, yeah, right. I guess they probably don't have time now for a train, but maybe they do.
No.
But to get moving towards Washington, D.C., should do it. So
I just beseech them because we have almost 1,900 Gold Star families now who...
Right.
Maybe all of them don't share my point of view, but I know most people who really understand now that we were lied to and that the intelligence was fixed around this war feel the same way. It's beyond belief to me that they're still in office.
Right, and it's beyond, not only beyond belief, it should be beyond resignation, beyond that feeling of, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
Because you all are given a shining example of that there is something you can do about it, it's certainly in the near term, and we have to.
It's not your right, it's your duty to stand up and say, this is wrong.
Right.
Just old-fashioned, plain old-fashioned wrong.
So you're right back into it. You got a rally there at William & Mary College. Is there? I imagine they have something planned for you tonight as well. It's not tonight yet, is it? No, it's 4:30. Okay.
Yeah.
These time zones, you know.
Yes, I know. It was. It's kind of interesting. I'm so technology challenged in many ways, but my cell phone just changes. I mean, you know, the time on it just automatically changes when I change time zones, and it really saves my life because I never know what time it is wherever I am.
So you have a rally or some kind of speaking engagement, something tonight there also in Virginia?
I think we have we're going to do some type of a vigil tonight. And I'm not sure where that's at because the rally is getting ready to, it's almost over now.
It's almost over.
And we've been here for about an hour and a half and speaking to students. And I think that they're also, at the vigil tonight, they're going to be doing some type of counter-recruitment. It's not anti-recruitment.
Right.
It's, you know, ethical recruitment, I guess.
Right. If you right, exactly. If you, for anybody who is thinking about or approached by the military, trying to get them to see all the broadest picture possible before they make their decision.
And they do. They promise them $20,000 or $30,000, and they're not going to get that. They're just not. I mean, I don't know how they figure it. Maybe they figure it in your wages over 4 years or something. It's comprised of a package of like your education benefits, and there might be a $5,000 bonus in it, but it's not gonna. You know, they make it sound so different than the actual.
So they make it sound like you're going to get a $20,000 check at some
point?
Right,
exactly, and that's not going to happen.
Right.
And that's what gets a lot of people to sign on the dotted line, and then they have some real scare tactics that they use, like, you know, well, we'll come and get you, and you can't get away, and once you sign that you belong to us.
Right. A lot of people don't know they can, between the signature and the time they show up, there is a possibility of changing their mind.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And as we found from people like Hart Vigis, who's with Vietnam, right? Iraq, flashback, Iraq Veterans Against the War, that even after you go in, and even after, in his case, he served a year in Iraq, there are still options.
Yes.
They become more limited and much more difficult, but there are options all along the way.
Where there's a will, there's a way, too.
That's right, exactly. So, not to have you speak for your husband, but would you please speak for your husband?
he's used to it by now.
Yeah, you were telling me, again, when we first made contact on the phone, that Steve wrote some pretty rousing letters off to the elected officials. Yes, and what prompted that?
Seeing that somebody in Ohio had destroyed the display of crosses that represent the crosses in Arlington for all the soldiers that have died in Iraq. And, you know, that's a pretty sacred thing, no matter what culture, no matter who you are or where you come from. You know, cemeteries and things that are showing reverence for people that have died it's a kind of a taboo. You just don't go there. And he was just enraged. And it just kind of brings back to him all the injustices of this and you know, the fact that David's gone from our life, and it's just so unfair. And we don't want to see anybody else go through this. And it just seems like all the senators and our representatives are just so silent on all these issues because they want to get reelected, and they don't want to rock the boat, and they don't want to. And I'm sure a lot of them, that their intentions are really very good, because this administration seems to have a habit of punishing those people who don't support them.
Even so, within their own party, correct.
And
yes.
Exactly. So, you know, I am sure that they are walking what they think is a you know, a righteous line, that mm-hmm. they don't want to bring shame to Oregon or bring down, you know, have us have any federal funding for anything cut, which has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this insane mentality that the Bushies have, which is if you're either for us or you're against us. Mm-hmm. You know, you either think like we do or you're a traitor.
Right, right. So he fired off some pretty volatile letters, apparently.
He did, and he has gotten a meeting with all of them that he wrote to, except for Senator Smith.
Mm-hmm. So he's got a meeting set up with Senator Wyden.
Wyden is at 10 o'clock on Friday morning.
Okay. And did he also, he wrote it to his congressional leader, your congressional representative? Is that
yes.
Who else? Okay.
Yes, he did.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And, but Smith is not yet, Gordon Smith has not yet come around.
Gordon Smith has not yet replied.
Right. And I'll point out to people.
But I haven't spoken to him today yet either.
Okay. So maybe that'll happen. Hopefully it will happen. And I'll point out to people that, again, the last time I saw you was at that vigil in Eugene. And the point of that vigil was, as we were saying, Wake Up Wyden and Stand Up Smith, was directed at our two U.S. Oregon senators to get them to take a stand to call for immediate withdrawal of an end of the war in Iraq. So this is a wonderful follow-up.
It is. Isn't it funny? I keep telling you that David is out there and he's guiding us. And when we kind of get off track, it's like we get this gentle nudge that mm-hmm. goes... And Anne Wright, who is kind of in charge of our bus,
mm-hmm.
she's—I don't know if you know who she is. She's she's a 23-year veteran of the military,
mm-hmm.
and she spent 14 years in the diplomatic corps. She was an ambassador to several different countries, and she resigned her commission over in opposition to this war.
Uh-huh. Okay.
She's a great, great lady.
And she was a major force behind Camp Casey in terms of keeping it organized.
Exactly.
There, right? Yes.
And she said to me today, we've been roommates this trip since I've gotten here, and she said to me, you know, it's really funny, but wherever you go, Michelle, there's music. And she said, you've always told me that David was so into music. And I said, yes, he really was. And we just discovered 2 days ago that the bus has a CD player on the outside of it. So we can actually, like, put a CD in there and enter and then ride into town in style with the music.
A CD player straight. On the outside of the bus?
On the outside of the bus. I said to her, nothing about any of this type of stuff surprises me in the slightest. Because
right.
I'm just sure it's David. He would find that just a regular riot.
Well, I'm sure, I just have this image of you bringing music and light wherever you show up, and I...
But they all like the music,
yeah.
It's just that they haven't had any until I got here, and now every time we have a rally, there's a band there.
Good, good.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, David would figure, you know, what's a rally without tunes?
Really? Definitely. Well, music, obviously, is a great uplifter. You guys found that out at Camp Casey, or didn't find
yes.
it out. That was
absolutely.
Enhanced by with Joan Baez and Steve Earle and probably others that
yes.
that were playing music. And so it's if you can't play the music with while you're doing this, then something is definitely missing.
Yes.
I'm listening to music right now, by the way. I don't know if it can be heard over the phone and is going to get recorded, but there's music in the household, so... okay, well, it's probably time for you to move on. It's probably time for me to move on. I'm glad to get back in touch with you and know that you're back on the tour and that Steve will be joining you. He'll be coming into D.C. on the 21st. Is that right?
Yes, we will, and okay. our daughter Joey will be with us then on the 23rd. I don't know if you've remembered this or not, but the first anniversary of David's death will be on the 25th.
Yes, I do
and
remember.
And it's going to be a tough, tough weekend for us. Mm-hmm. So what better place to be than protesting in Washington, D.C.? I just can't, you know, it's a gift. I mean, we're so glad to be here, and we are excited about this. And we just feel like it's history in the making, especially mm-hmm. if there are 2 million people here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, yeah, we'll keep working on it, and I think a big thing, too, is going to be making sure that however many people are there and in other places across the country that we get our local and national media to actually cover it.
Right.
And that will be a big step right there that folks are working on, and I have really high hopes for that because of how the Camp Casey and the tour and Cindy and you and others have have sparked an interest that they're going to be paying attention this time. So,
oh, I hope so.
With that, if you do me a favor and let Linda and Phil Wace know that I will talk to them in the morning. Hopefully I'll be able to get a hold of them. And,
okay, I will tell them.
Probably talk to you again tomorrow. I'll just spend my whole time recording on the telephone. And so, people in Cottage Grove, anyway, will be hearing your voice tomorrow morning. And also, we are now uploading this in a couple places on the internet. So, and I know some people have been checking in on that from other places around the country. So, it's that feels really good, getting a little bit of the story out there.
It does.
Okay. Well, have a good time in Virginia.
Well, thank you. It's a fascinating place to be. I've never been to Virginia, and it's just so colonial looking.
it's definitely different than Oregon.
It is.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye.
Bye-bye.